Well, Christmas is over, and so now we start to receive what? The credit card bills, okay? And we look at those and we say, why did I spend so much? You know, everything looked so good. You know, when you went to the mall or you went to Costco or whatever, and you're looking at stuff and everything was marked down, or you got online and, you know, Amazon and all these places, they had free shipping and all that. It looked so good. You know, you found that special thing that you knew Uncle Guido was really going to love. And you found a purse that, you know, your sister Beulah would just really like to have. And it just all seemed so good. And, you know, hopefully everybody loved all of the stuff that you got for them, but now you have to pay for it. And hopefully you're fortunate enough to be able to pay for it when you get the bill and not have to pay so much a month on it until next Christmas season comes and you start all over again. But let's begin with a prayer. Father, we just give you thanks for always meeting our needs and, Lord, meeting our wants quite often as well. And so, Lord, we just praise you for who you are. You are God. You are the one that gives us everything, and we just thank you for that. So, Lord, as we look at your word, and Father, help us to gain some wisdom from the things that you have there for us, that, Lord, we can learn to be better stewards. We can learn to use what you've given us in the very best ways possible. So, Father, just open our ears, our hearts, and our minds, as always, in Jesus' name, amen. So, money is often an issue for us. You know, the Bible talks about money more than just about anything else out there. Because money, there never seems to be enough. You know, many people live from paycheck to paycheck, and they hope when the paycheck comes that it's going to be enough to be able to pay the bills that are there and to buy the groceries and to put gas in the vehicles and all of that. But sometimes we have to make choices. You know, are we going to pay the bills and the groceries, or are we going to buy that medication, or are we going to be able to put away as much in our savings or our retirement as we have been, or, you know, just what's going to happen? And it doesn't matter how much money we have coming in, we can always use more. It just kind of seems to be the way it is. Someone asked John D. Rockefeller how much money was enough. And he said, a little more than what you have. Now, this was one of the richest people ever in the world. And I think about this and I think, you know, how could he want more than what he has, or how could he feel he needs more than what he has when, you know, you and I are trying to get by on what a little bit, or what we think is a little bit, that we have. But he also said this: it is wrong to assume that men of immense wealth are always happy. So what he's telling me is our happiness does not come from our money or from our stuff. So you can rightly assume that I'm going to talk again about money, about giving, about stewardship, tithing, saving, about the stuff that we have, we want, we think we need. If you haven't already figured that out from the title of the message, you know, you probably had that coming. But, you know, God is always so good at giving me what I need for a message. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, hey, there's 5 Tuesdays in January. And since I usually do my messages on Tuesday, and I said the months that there's 5 Tuesdays, one message will be about giving, tithing, whatever. And where we are worshiping at Harborside Christian Church, starting the first of the year, we're doing a 21-day fast. And our pastor, Pastor Kurt Parker, he has a video message for us every morning. And the one morning that I thought I needed to get started on this message, his message was about money. So praise the Lord. And he used this verse that I know that I've read before, at least a half a dozen times or more, but it just kind of clicked for me because that's where my mind was. So this is Deuteronomy 8:18, and this is from the New International Version. It says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." So some of you may snicker at the term, the ability to produce wealth. I don't know you. I don't know your situation. You know, maybe you're a homeless person that has the ability to be able to listen to this. Maybe you're a millionaire or a billionaire, or you're someplace in between those two. But I imagine that most of us that are going to listen to this, most people who will listen, are wealthier than the majority of the world. Now, most translations use the word wealth in Deuteronomy 8:18. The New Living Translation uses the term, gives you the ability to be successful. Well, like I said, our success does not depend on our wealth. Now, the word wealth in Hebrew is keil, and it's got many meanings. Of those are goods, strength, riches, substance, power, virtuous, might, worthy, and wealth. And the point of the verse is this: God has given you the ability to have what you have. Whether you are John D. Rockefeller, or one of his descendants, or Bill Gates, or you're maybe just an average Joe or Josephine. No matter how much you have, you need to thank God for it and his desire to allow you to have it. Okay? You know, without God's provision, we would have nothing. So, you know, I used to pray, "Lord, I don't want to be rich. I just want to have enough to have a comfortable life." And by that I meant, you know, enough to pay the bills, a place to live, a dependable car. You know, we weren't in need for food or clothing. And, you know, we had four kids in a little over 5 years. And so, you know, we went through a lot of food and a lot of clothes during that time. And so that was my prayer. Well, then I thought, well, you know, maybe God wants me to be rich. Okay, and so I would pray, you know, "Well, God, I don't want to be rich unless you want me to." You know, that's, you know, not my goal in life to be a rich person. But, you know, if you want me to be rich, you know, hey, that's okay. Somebody's got to be rich. But apparently that was not the case. Because on the scale of what we as Americans anyways look at as rich and poor, I'm not on the rich end of that. I'm not on the poor end, but I'm certainly not on the rich end either. But he has answered my original prayer of giving us enough to pay the bills, have a place to live, and all that. So praise the Lord for that. But the question is this: what am I supposed to do with my wealth? Okay, now God has not allowed me to have all that I have just for me and my wife and our family. So that's when God gave me Proverbs 21:26. This is from the New American Standard, where it says, "The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. All day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back." And then from the Message, it says it like this: "Lazy people finally die of hunger because they won't get up and go to work. Sinners are always wanting what they do not have. The God loyal are always giving what they do have." Okay, I've come to realize that I have been given what I have to be able to give to others. You know, I mean, that to me, that's a no-brainer. You know, God wants me to have, but God also wants me to give. Now, in James chapter 2, he's talking about faith and deeds, okay, faith and works. And in verses 15 and 16, it says this: suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? When we see a need that God has given us the ability to meet, what does he expect of us? To give it, you know, to meet that need. You know, and that's just what God knows that his children need to be doing. Because when he has given us the ability to do, we need to do it. Do we think he puts those opportunities in front of us to be ignored? You know, I know that God has put opportunities in front of me sometimes, and I've met them, and sometimes I haven't, and I thought, ah, man, I was supposed to do this, you know, or why didn't I do that? So obviously, we cannot meet all of the needs that we see, but we can take a step in the right direction. Now, you've maybe heard this story in some version before. I've heard it different ways. But it says, once upon a time, there was an old man who used to go to the ocean to do his writing. He had a habit of walking on the beach every morning before he began his work. Early one morning, he was walking along the shore after a big storm had passed and found that the vast beach was littered with starfish as far as the eye could see, stretching in both directions. Off in the distance, the old man noticed a small boy approaching. As the boy walked, he paused every so often, and as he grew closer, the man could see that he was occasionally bending down to pick up an object and throw it into the sea. The boy came closer, and the man called out, "Good morning. May I ask you what you're doing?" The young boy paused, looked up, and replied, "Throwing starfish into the ocean. The tide has washed them up on the beach, and they can't return to the sea by themselves. When the sun gets high, they will die, unless I throw them back in the water." The old man replied, "But there must be tens of thousands of starfish on this beach. I'm afraid you won't be able to make much of a difference." The boy bent down, picked up yet another starfish, threw it as far as he could into the ocean. Then he turned and smiled and said, "I made a difference to that one." You know, God does not expect us to feed and clothe the world. You know, we see those commercials on TV of the little kids, you know, that are in rags and, you know, they've got a pan or a cup or something and nothing to eat. And, you know, we can't feed the world. We can't, you know, do everything that the world needs, but he doesn't want us to ignore those that we can help. You know, the story was true. The boy couldn't save all those starfish, but he could help one at a time. And we're not asked to do any more than that. You know, if you have the means, you have the wealth, you know, greater than many, you know, that's what you should be doing, is helping more than one. You know, maybe I can help one or two. Maybe you can help 100 or 200 because of what the Lord has given you. But the writer of Hebrews tells us this in chapter 13, verse 16. This is a New Century Version. "Do not forget to do good to others and share with them, because such sacrifices please God." You know, sometimes helping others is a sacrifice. It takes time, it takes money, or maybe your reputation. Not too long ago, we went to see the movie, Same Kind of Different as Me. I read the book several years ago, and this rich man's wife made him go down into the poor section of the city and work in the soup kitchen, and he really didn't want to do that. you know, because, you know, he would drive his big fancy car down there and was afraid he was going to come out and it was going to be gone or be sitting on cement blocks and stripped or whatever it might be. But he didn't think that he should be there and didn't want to be there. But she made him do it. And over time, he saw that that was where he needed to be and what he needed to do. But he took some ridicule for that from some of his country club friends. And so maybe sometimes helping somebody, others might say something to you about, you know, why do you go there? You know, why are you trying to help these people? You know, why do you care about the homeless or whatever it might be? You know, well, you need to tell them, I care because God cares. And I do what I do because God expects me to do that. Excuse me. Because like it said, such sacrifices please God. And, you know, it feels good to do good. Now, not a pride kind of good, but just knowing that you've done the right thing. You know, that feels good. And when you think about it, what you've done when you do good to someone else, you've been Jesus to them. You know, it's important if you do something for somebody that, and they say, well, why are you doing this? Say, well, you know, because that's what the Lord expects me to do. You know, or I'm just called to be Jesus to you. You know, if you jump somebody's car in the parking lot and they want to give you money to do it, you know, and you refuse the money and just say, you know, this Lord told me this is what I needed to do, I'll usually tell them, you know, next time you go to church, put that money in the offering plate. I don't know if they go to church or not, but that's up to them. So, but over the years, I've found that the more that we give, the more God blesses us. Now, he's not made me that rich person that I prayed about, but he always meets our needs and makes us rich in other ways, more important ways than bank accounts or stuff. I think that since we're at the beginning of a new year, it's a good time to examine ourselves in all areas of our lives. Okay, what we need to do is to reflect on the past and note the positives and look at the negatives and say, I'm not going there this year. Because we're going to see times that we missed out on a blessing that we could have been to others. And we can't beat ourselves up over it. We need to just say, Lord, forgive me for missing that opportunity you gave me, and move on and look closer for those opportunities. The last church where we served in Delaware, we were having a pastor's meeting and at our church, and there was several pastors from the area and some lay people that were there from different ministries, whatever. And I had gotten there early. I had been there most of the day before the meeting and all. But these other people, you know, started coming shortly before the meeting and all. And I didn't realize it, but there was this person that was dressed up in a bunch of raggedy clothes and all. And it wasn't winter, I don't think. It was, you know, not very warm out. And they were just kind of sitting there on the curb. And so the meeting started and, you know, went along. And then this person that was outside had come inside. And he was part of this one ministry from the area. And he said only one person stopped to talk to him or ask him how he was doing. And that was a secretary from our church. But all these other people from different ministries, different pastors, never stopped to talk to him. We need to make sure we do better the next time. So as we're going to examine ourselves, maybe we need to do an examination on our richness. Look first at how we're receiving. How's God meeting your needs? You know, maybe you work and you get a paycheck every week or every other week or every month, whatever it might be. And when I do this, you know, I'm just really amazed at the way the Lord meets our needs. You know, my wife and I are both retired to receive Social Security. I receive a pension from United Methodist Church. God's given us other means of income at different times, and especially when it's an unexpected need, you know, it's an unexpected blessing. You know, having been a pastor in the United Methodist Church for those 20-some years, we lived in a parsonage, you know, a house that the church provided, or we received a housing allowance. And so as I was nearing time, thinking about retiring, and I'm thinking, you know, well, how is this need going to be met when I retire? You know, we've been having basically free housing for the last 20-some years, and, you know, I'm going to retire, and I'm not going to have that, and I'm not going to be having as much income come in. You know, but God was telling me all the time, don't worry about it. I'm in control. I'm going to meet your needs. And he certainly has. And he's done it in abundant ways. So that thought took me to Luke 12, 22. Excuse me. And this is from the New Living Translation. Jesus said, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or clothes to wear, and to add to that, or a place to live. That's part of everyday life. God's saying, I got all the bases covered. I got everything taken care of. You know, just, you know, move on and don't worry about it. You know, and helping others, that's something we all can do, because there's always somebody that's worse off than we are. You know, and helping others doesn't always mean investing money. Sometimes people just need a little help. You just need someone to care. You know, if I'm honest, when I look at my situation in life, I am really blessed, big time. And because of those blessings, I see the Lord leading us into other ways to bless other people. You know, like I said before, those that need our help are really close. Sometimes they're just next door, across the street. Sometimes they're where you work or go to school. Sometimes they're at your church. You know, there's probably a lot of people in all of our churches that have needs that we're really not aware of that we could be meeting. Maybe sometimes it's even your family. You know, a family member, maybe somebody that you're close to, maybe somebody you haven't seen or spoken to in a long time. Or maybe it's some of your friends. You know, we don't always know what's going on in everybody's life. You know, we may think that we do, but then we find out different. Or maybe it's somebody that you don't even know. You know, there was a video on Facebook a while ago that they had set up a camera, and there was this boy, I don't know, 10 years old or so, and it was cold out, and he was in the city. I don't remember what the city was, but he was there and sitting on like a garbage bag or something, and all he had on was like a t-shirt and some ripped pants, and, you know, he was waiting for somebody to help him, and all these people were walking by. You know, some people would glance at him, other people just make sure that they didn't look his direction, and just going by. And then along came a homeless man. And the homeless man sat down next to him, took off his coat and put around him, and gave him what he needed. Now, this boy wasn't really homeless. Okay, it was a setup thing just to see how people would react. And so sometimes people that we don't even know really need a lot of help. You know, if we look for them, they're not hard to find. And if we start to look for them, God's going to lead us to them more and more. And once you start to be a blessing to more people, you're going to see more blessings come to you. That doesn't mean that you're going to start getting checks in the mail or whatever, but it means that God's going to bless you in the ways that he chooses to, because you're doing what he expects you to. And so we do these things because of what Jesus has done for us. Because Jesus lived his life not only to give us salvation, but to give us an example. And so we need to look at that example, and we need to follow that example. Okay, if you're a Christian, you know what Jesus has done. You know how he lived his life. And so we need to follow that. We need to look for the poor, the widows, the orphans, whatever it may be, those that are in need of our help. And like I said, sometimes it's money, you know, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just taking the time to listen to somebody. But a lot of times it's going to cost us something financially. And that's okay, because God isn't going to ask you to do something that he hasn't given you the ability to do. And so, you know, you might think, you know, this is the last $10 I got in my wallet, but this person needs it more than me. You give them the $10. And, you know, when your need comes up, God's going to meet that need for you. But none of this makes any sense, as always, unless you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so if you haven't made that commitment to Jesus, now's the time to do it. Because he did come to give us salvation. He came and he died on the cross for our sins. And he rose from the dead. And he says, I'm coming back again. You better be ready. And nobody's too young. Nobody's too old. Nobody's too rich. Nobody's too poor. Nobody's too healthy or too sick to come to Christ. You know, you may think, you know, you don't know the sin that I've had in my life. And you're right, I don't. But Jesus does, and he says, come. That's what we need to do, is to come and take advantage of what he's given to us for free, because we couldn't afford the salvation that he's given us. Nobody could. And so come and take what Jesus has given you for free, and then live the life of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.